I mean, if you're going to record a geeky podcast, you should be doing it while knitting a Doctor Who scarf. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
It's another Geeky Boner episode of Geeks Without God. This week we talk about spreadsheets, Borderlands 2, Tim's band, and of course it's time to talk Halloween.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
And welcome to Geeks Without God. I am one of your hosts, Tim Wick. I am here, as always, with my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Molly Glover.
Yo.
And welcome to the October Geeky Boner episode.
Yay.
Hey. Yay. We've just decided that we're going to do this once a month. That
awesome.
It's going to be a monthly Geeky Boner thing. And this month, we're going to start... I don't know who we should start with. Molly.
Yeah.
Molly, why don't we start with what's your latest Geeky Boner? What's your Geeky Boner right now?
Okay, so I just want to tell everybody that right now as we're recording this, I'm knitting a Doctor Who scarf.
She is doing that. I can confirm
me.
That.
Yes, for Nick. However, that is not my Geeky Boner. My Geeky Boner is spreadsheets. Oh my God, you guys.
Spreadsheets?
Yeah. I have to do a lot of spreadsheets for work, and right now I'm doing this really intensive return that involves... all kinds of first data entry, and then I have to do data cleanup from the data we got from the other customer, and then I get to do index match functions, which sounds super boring, and it's not, because it's like, okay, let's say
convince us, please.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so
I'd like to be convinced.
Let's say that you have you've got column A has product codes, column B has titles, and you want, and then on the next page you've got column A has those same product codes, but you need to pull over another piece of information, and rather than just copying it all by hand, you can just say match, like what you're going to say is index this column of stuff I want to pull over, and match the cell here to the other cell here that has the same information, and if those two match, then you pull out this other piece of information and put it here, and it's awesome. It makes like 3 hours of work take 2 seconds, and I love it, and it's like programming, so you have to get all the commas and the parentheses in the right spot. It's everything I love about computer science. So,
and then if it goes wrong, it's like undo.
If anything goes wrong, it's just an error, and you just have to go back and like figure out. I mean, if you've ever done any programming, you know you got to go back and figure out what one thing you put in the wrong spot, like what one dollar sign or comma or what one little tiny parenthesis is wrong. And I love it. It's so nerdy, but I really like doing spreadsheets.
That's funny.
It satisfies this part of me that really enjoys data.
So like when you're at work and somebody's like, oh, Molly, we need a spreadsheet. You're like, ooh,
I'm
yay!
On it, yeah. You know, yay. Like, okay, so you remember, I also love busy work like that. You remember the Simpsons where Bart has to stuff envelopes or something? He's doing something.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
collating and Principal Skinner says, I have an idea. Make a game of it. See how many you can do in an hour and then try to break that record.
You
like
do
that's
that.
That's what I love it. I love collating, stapling, stuffing envelopes, all the stuff that like robots can do. I love to do so.
It's the worst. It's so
I know.
Tedious.
It's so tedious and calming. And this is why I say I'm on
the
spectrum.
I don't mind doing
guys.
That if I'm like watching a movie or something
yeah.
Where I can sit there and stuff envelopes and
yep.
fold and stuff like that.
Sewing maybe
something
well,
else.
And the reason it's similar is like the reason I mentioned the knitting is to me the knitting is very similar to that. It's like stuffing envelopes. I mean I'm just doing the same. I'm knitting a scarf. There's no the only difference is when the color changes. So it's just doing the same stitch
yeah.
over, marking it on that's one, and then over. So
you're doing a full length double width. Tom
yes.
Baker.
Yes. For my knitting peeps out there, it is 60 stitches on across, and then it's going to be, boy, I think it ends up being like almost 2,000 rows long.
And
so
how long
it's gonna,
have you been doing this?
About a year. I've knit mostly in the winter. I have
yeah.
a hard time when I'm tired or busy. Like right now I'm kind of rededicating my efforts because I'm realizing that I want to get it done so that you can wear it for the winter time. So I'm going to really, really push. At Omega Con this
done,
year, I'm going to knit constantly.
When it's all done, it's going to be...
We've got to record an episode in OmegaCon.
Yeah,
for
except
sure,
we'll
for
be
sure.
too fucking busy enjoying
will.
OmegaCon.
I know. It's kind of the anti-Slack to record
yeah,
a podcast at OmegaCon, but I think we should.
We should.
We
just
play
to
a
talk
game.
About
yeah.
how awesome it is.
We could record
while playing
a game.
A game
of Magical Athlete while recording. That's a fast enough game.
Yeah.
We could do that.
Yeah,
AKA Retard Racers. If
oh,
it is,
okay.
Wow.
It is, yeah, Retard Racers.
It is.
So, like 16 feet long or something like that?
It's going to be, I think it ends up being... Man, I don't even know. Probably like 12. Nick is the same height as Tom Baker, so I don't have
yeah.
to scale it at all.
He's a tall dude.
Yeah, he is. So I'm doing the full length, legitimate one of the longer ones. Tim and
yeah.
I were discussing earlier which because they
had different length scarves. Like I
yeah.
think he had, his indoor scarf was shorter.
I know
my Doctor Who geek friends are could totally tell me exactly, but
yeah.
I know
this is the
that there were different
Tom Baker.
Length.
Muffler, the big
yeah.
when you think of one, when the layman thinks
yeah.
of a Tom of a Doctor Who scarf.
Well, there is yeah,
just,
there's
yeah,
the Tom Baker
yeah.
scarf. That's really.
I'll post.
Yeah.
I will put in the show notes the link to the pattern that I'm using.
Oh, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
So anybody
yeah.
can make it.
Yeah.
There
we go. That's my geekiness.
All right, Nick, what's your geeky boner this week?
Well, I haven't had a lot of time to play with it, but this week Borderlands 2 came out,
yeah.
and I want to play it as much as my schedule will allow. Every moment that I'm not. Eating, sleeping, or at work, I want to be at home playing Borderlands 2. Right now, while we're recording this podcast, I kind of wish I was at home playing Borderlands 2.
I can verify that. I'm sure that's true.
So it's
describe the drive.
If I don't know the franchise.
Well,
yeah.
okay,
yeah.
It's a space western first person shooter with a heavy emphasis on co-op. Okay, you know how in Diablo games you are crawling through a dungeon, murdering tons of things that are randomly generated, and they drop random loot?
Yeah.
And the loot is all randomly generated?
Yeah.
All of the guns and grenade mods and equipment and shields, all of that in Borderlands is procedurally generated like it is in Diablo, but to the point where there could be 86... I think it's billion different combinations for guns.
Wow.
And so, like, some of the cool stuff that they added that I've got to play with so far is there's disposable guns that you pick up, and it's like, okay, this pistol has a 21-round clip, and as soon as you hit reload, you throw it like a grenade and it explodes. The more ammunition there was left in the clip... the more damage the grenade blast does.
Shit, that's awesome.
So if you, like, fire a shot or two at a dude, like I like to use it, like, when you're catching someone by surprise. Because then you can, like, line up a headshot or two, squeeze off one or two, and then throw the gun while the clip is still pretty full. It'll hit with someone, explode like a grenade, you switch to your other gun, and then you get to, you know, continue with the melee. But, the classes are really fun. Like, there's a skill tree. You level up, and you have skill trees, just like in Diablo. And so
he's saying all this because he knows that I love Diablo.
Well,
it's
a point of reference.
Yeah.
Are there so is it just like Mayhem Melee shoot 'em up, or are there actual quests and stuff that?
Oh no, there's a lot of role playing elements besides
cool.
you're leveling up. There's stories. There's lots and lots of side quests.
Because I know I play a lot of Fable, which has lots of side quests and also like. Killing dudes quests.
Yeah.
Is it a lot of like in Fable, it's like, go help this farmer. He needs the return of
yeah.
his daughter safely.
Except for it's like, you know, this dude needs, yeah, it's totally fetch quests sometimes.
Okay.
Like, this dude needs four pieces of fur for his hat. So you need to go kill four of these horrible beasts.
Sure.
But you have to finish them off with a melee attack.
Otherwise,
so it's like,
yeah.
Otherwise
you
won't be able to get the fur.
You can like, right, you can shoot them and shoot them and shoot them and start them on fire or whatever, but then you have to run up and beat them with your fist.
Yeah.
So,
you can't explode them.
But then some of the weapons do elemental damage, like there's fire, and I found
is there any magic?
Kind of. There's psychic stuff. One of the characters has a psychic power that, like, controls the flow of battle, and there's a midget guy who's a gunzerker who can carry two rifles at once. There's a guy with a turret, and then there's a ninja guy who's either a really good sniper or a hand-to-hand combat sneaky guy.
Interesting.
But the characters are way exaggerated, and it's this great kind of cel-shaded art So it is kind of space western, kind of like Firefly thematically.
I know our friends at the Ridiculous Institute for Ridiculous Science today.
Yeah.
Today they declared no puppets would be made today. Today is Borderlands Tuesday.
Yeah. Dr. Megan and Jeff.
They were both playing Borderlands 2.
And normally and historically when it comes to first person shooters, I'm a PC person because. Anyone who argues with me is wrong, by the way. A keyboard and mouse is the best way to play a first-person shooter, period. It's proven. It's a fact. It's not a debatable point. But
How do you prove this? Here's how you prove it.
Every time they've ever released, they don't do cross-platform first-person shooters anymore.
Uh-huh.
They've tried to do it a few times. They tried to do it with Shadowrun, first-person shooter for Xbox and PC. The PC players dominated so fucking hard that the Xbox players threw away the game and stopped playing. You mean
cross-platform co-op?
No, or deathmatch, or versions.
Okay,
so they don't do cross-platform anymore because the PC players have too much of an advantage with their control scheme.
Huh.
It is ridiculous, the skill difference. Huh. The very best console player will get schooled by average to good PC players, just the control scheme, but despite that, I buy this game for Xbox because the guys I play D&D with regularly, or what used to be regularly, are the same guys that I tend to play games online with, and they're all on Xbox.
Okay, if you want to be able to play with
right,
your friends,
as fun as the game is single player, the co-op is drop in, drop out. So no matter where you are in the story, no matter what the level discrepancy is between you and your friends, anyone can drop in, drop out at any time in the story and pick up and complete quests and be challenged and help. It's a fucking blast, man.
I saw a little pop-up info thing while you were playing last night that said if you play co-op, the more players, it's the bosses scale, so you're fighting tougher monsters and then they drop better loot.
Yep.
So it actually there's an actual incentive to play co-op because you'll get better stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone will.
And even when you beat the game, you start over New Game Plus, your character keeps going, you play again, and all the monsters and everything are way harder.
Right.
And there's no limit to the number of times you can repeat. So the tricky thing is when there's a big level discrepancy, because then you get like a level 9 guy and his level 20 buddy, so all the enemies kind of scale to somewhere in between.
Which means the level 20 guy is just kicking their ass and the level 9 guy is...
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, it's still fun. It's still a challenge.
It gives you an incentive to all play it kind of at the same amount of time.
So what we understand is when you're not playing, you're thinking about playing.
Constantly. I bought the not the super duper spiffy edition, which they were I couldn't even pre-order it. The pre-order sold out. I bought the deluxe version, and it came with an art book and a bobblehead, and the bobblehead's on my desk at work next to my Vault Boy Fallout bobblehead.
Assisting you in thinking about Borderlands.
Yep, he's agreeing with all my good decisions and thinking about Borderlands at work. And then I came with a little hardcover art book. And so I'm in training at work, so I'm like, oh, that command, I should remember that. Flip, flip, flip. Oh, man, that's beautiful. I can't wait to kill that. Flip, flip, flip. Oh, no, I'm totally paying attention. No, yeah. So, yeah, luckily the instructor's a pretty cool guy, and he's cool about us sticking
around. Tune in for our next episode where I talk about how Nick got fired and we're
like, oh, you know what? There's an Xbox 360 in my break room at work.
What?
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Your work is so totally awesome.
So when you take breaks, you're playing Borderlands.
I could be. They have beers tomorrow.
They have beer clock at 3
it's,
o'clock.
Yeah, at like 3 in the afternoon, they open up the kegerator for the department. And like today after work, we all went to Dave & Buster's and played shuffleboard, like table shuffleboard and pool. We rented out all the pool tables in the shuffleboard area at Dave & Buster's, and the company was like, we'll pick up the tab for appetizers and drinks, so... I had like five Mai Tais and like...
You had five Mai Tais before you drove over here?
We shouldn't be talking about that.
No, he's a big dude. Believe me, if anyone could have five Mai Tais and not be drunk, it's this guy.
They're pretty mild sauce.
They are
pretty
really mild Mai Tais.
Okay, we better get to my geeky boner.
Yeah, Tim,
hit us. We'll just bore people with Borderlands 2 forever.
Hit us with your geeky boner. Did you actually just say that?
Slap us in the face.
Slap us in the face with your geeky boner. Can that be our bumper sticker?
Slap us in the face with your geeky boner.
Oh, I love it.
That would be great. No, I'm just my band, The Dregs, which I imagine most of our listeners have not heard of, but
yeah, I maybe like at least half.
Maybe half. But yeah. Anyway, we just released our newest CD, Do It Like You're Drunk. and that's it's pretty cool. You know, I never thought for a second that I'd be the kind of person that puts out a CD, even if it is, you know, some self-produced 1,000 copies.
What number is this? What number CD?
This is our sixth.
Sixth CD.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
So I know that the Dregs have been in different iterations, but how long has the band been together with the majority? I mean, I know the majority of you have been there the whole time. So.
Well, no, actually, me and Susie, there are only two of us have been there since the very beginning.
So how long has it been since it was founded?
We started as a different band called The Pubkin in 1999.
Okay.
And we changed our name to The Dregs, I think it was 2002.
And have you been out at the Renfest the whole time? Is that how it started?
Yeah, that's where we started. We started at the Minnesota Renfest, and we've been doing a lot more stuff outside. So this CD is kind of fun because it's got some geeky stuff that we've written for Converge.
The Adele parody.
Molly's new,
Loathing All the Geeks, which is...
The Adele parody, it's fantastic. It's very clever.
You guys should get the CD, it's really good.
You should. You get to get by, you know, I'll put a link. We don't actually have it available online, but I'll put a link to...
We'll just put your address and people can drop by your house.
It will be on
your doorbell and ask for CDs. Just send us an email with your credit card number. And your name and your billing address.
It will be on CD Baby. It may be on CD Baby by the time this airs.
Oh, cool.
So,
CD Baby.
CD Baby. So, yeah, and it's got a song I wrote called Pissing Off the Geeks, which is, I wrote it for Convergence.
I like that one, too.
Pissing Off the Geeks is great.
Just to tell geeks everything they love is horrible. I only leave about half.
Have you seen those pictures that are designed to piss off nerds, where they show a picture of Gandalf, and then they'll show a picture of someone, like in this example, Gandalf, and they'll show a quote by a different character, so it'll say, like, may the force be with you, and then they'll attribute the quote to a third wrong, incorrect character.
Like Dumbledore.
So it'll be like, may the force be with you, Dumbledore, and then it shows a picture of Gandalf.
That's awesome.
There's a whole series of them where they're just like, wrong, and they're totally made to just troll nerds, and like, you post them and see who corrects you, and like, that's the joke.
Yeah.
So I'm interested, how long did it take between when you guys recorded the CD and getting it out and the pictures and stuff you took for it? I would love to know about that.
It takes a lot longer than you think it's gonna. We started recording in May.
Okay.
And we did several. We were at a studio called Shock and Awe because that was where our engineer knew somebody, and so we could get in there for a rate that was pretty reasonable. And we recorded in May, and we recorded more in June. I think we even had a couple of sessions in July to get it all done. Because, you know, we've got a 6-member band. Everybody sings.
Yep.
Most everybody plays instruments. So the number of tracks that you need to put down, because everybody's got to put down their own vocal track.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Then you've got an instrumental track for everybody.
So 6 schedules to arrange,
too.
Yeah,
like, it was just...
A lot of you have kids and...
Yeah.
Two of
us. Susan and I have kids.
Jeffrey
has a kid. But
half of you have kids.
True. Jeffrey's kid isn't up in town too often.
That's true. Still,
there's kids and there's family and there was festival and there was a Fringe festival and there's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, the Fringe.
So by the time we got done recording it, then it took about a month to a month and a half to mix it, because the guy he'd mix it, and then we'd get together and we'd listen to it and go, all right, well, this doesn't work and this doesn't work, and then Rachel, one of the members of our band, would have to go in and sit with him and give him advice on, here's where you need to tweak this, and here's where you need to, and he did a great job. This is the process.
Yeah,
this
right.
is what you
sure,
do
sure.
if you want to have a really good product, and we really like to make sure that our product's pretty good. So we started working on it in May. And we were able to release it on the 5th weekend of the Renaissance Festival.
That's
and our
great.
Goal had been to get it released by opening weekend. We
and
didn't
you had
quite
it
make
at,
that.
At Dregs in the Dark, which was, by the way, it was the first time we've ever been to Dregs in the Dark. It's the first time we've had passes.
Uh-huh.
So it was pretty awesome.
That was a fun time.
You guys may not know this, but Tim and his band are like the fucking rock stars at the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
Which is not saying a lot.
Panties thrown up on the stage, giving drinks to the people in the band. Oh my God, I got to talk to you.
Wait.
It's amazing.
What
I'm back.
It's drunk people coming up to you after the show going, You guys are awesome. I love you guys so much.
So on Saturday morning, backstage behind front gate, there's like this, maybe like, I want to say she was like 14, which means she was probably like 19, because yeah. they all looked like toddlers to me now. But, and she said, hey, are you going to Dregs in the Dark tonight? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, are you? She goes, yeah, I know most of them. I mean, it's not a big deal, you know, but it's pretty cool. I know them. And I did not let on. I didn't try to one-up her or say like, that's hilarious, because I've been to, you know, like, yeah. I know them all very well. And I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. She goes, yeah, I guess. You know, but she was she was trying to act like
she was hipster name dropping.
Oh, my God. That's great. It was so funny. Find out
who so you are worthy of the hipster name drop in sweet. Some circles.
She was dressed like CKC kind of. She was dressed very plain. I don't know that she was any.
CKC.
She was someone's kid.
She's somebody we know. Yeah,
she was just someone's kid is my guess.
I mean, Dregs in the Dark is a cool thing. We did it just because, you know, at the festival, everybody's working and they don't get a chance to go see the show. So we're like... And we had a lot of members of the cast that really like our band, and we were like, well, let's do this. Let's just one night.
How many years have you done it?
I think this was the 6th or 7th.
So what it is they play in the pavilion at like 8:30 for those of us who, anyone who has a pass, anyone who works out there.
Yeah.
So it's after hours, and there's candles all around the stage, and like the
and it's just crazy,
it's
and it's
super
all it's
fun.
Request the audience shouts out songs, and we sing whatever songs we want them to sing, and we never get through all of them. And it's just a blast, and it is really cool. It's one of those things where you're like, wow, it's really nice to be doing this artistic thing and enjoying the hell of it, and having other people enjoy watching you
for
do
the
it.
Best crowd you could
other
probably
artists, yeah. other performers like who
you know
yeah
I imagine it's probably like what it feels like to do the Vilification show at Convergence.
Yeah,
where it's like the best possible audience you could hope for and the best setting, and it's your rockstar show.
Dregs in the Dark show is the rockstar show. It's just it's fucking amazing. So anyway, enough talking about how awesome my band is. if you don't know who the Dregs are, check them out. We're awesome. But I want to talk about it. It's October. It's our October Geeky Boner episode. Mm-hmm. The other geeky boner I have is Halloween.
Oh, I love Halloween.
Because I fucking love Halloween.
I do too.
If you ask me what my favorite holiday is, it's I love Halloween. And I think it sucks that it's just one night. But I'm going to be so upset when my kids are too old to go out trick-or-treating.
Halloween's like the holiday I wish we had kids.
No, see, when...
Yeah. But we totally don't wish we had kids.
Well, yeah, when they're too old to go out trick-or-treating, what you do is you have them dress... You all dress up and you, like, do a haunted house, or you have, you know, you have them answer the door, and you and Pat go out and do something fun for Halloween, like go to a party.
Yeah. You go to adult parties.
They stay home and hand out candy.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you can get to do.
See, but there's this street near my mom's house, and they... It's amazing. Everybody on this two-block stretch, they decorate the shit out of their houses.
Awesome.
Just the most amazing decorations that you'll ever see. And there are hundreds of people on that block because people hear about it. And everybody from several blocks around comes to trick-or-treat on that block. And we've been doing this ever since, I think, Alex was 4 years old. So he's almost... he's 13 now. And we still... This is the block that we go to start trick-or-treating. And then we'll go home and trick-or-treat by home. And it's just... I love the costumes that people put on. I also love the fact that, I mean, I know there are pagan and Christian roots to Halloween, but Halloween is a fucking secular
holiday.
It's a
secular holiday.
There's absolutely nothing about Halloween.
I don't know any Christians that celebrate it, and other than there are some that ban it.
Right.
And
there's some that are like, it's the devil's day.
Well,
we don't do that.
So, okay, so that leads me, since this is, you know, we are an atheist podcast here, have you ever heard of the horror houses they do? Haunted horror houses.
Oh, the Christians do?
The Hell House.
The Hell Houses.
They do
that.
Like
they show like a woman who had an abortion, like, and it's
all... Here's the couple that had premarital sex.
People who are being punished for their sins in eternal damnation rooms. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Cheesy as fuck.
There's a great documentary about that. I think it's just called Hell House that is all about the people who do it and the kids who are doing it and like how they design it and put it together. And it's pretty... I mean, as an atheist, I'm always just kind of like, ugh, whenever I see teenagers being indoctrinated into that kind of shit. But it's a good thing to watch. It's interesting. I was a Wiccan.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were a Wiccan, and I was interesting.
I was a Wiccan for a couple of years. So when I was in high school, my senior year, I was dating this boy who, I don't know if anyone else has ever had this, where you're in a relationship where one person totally has the upper hand because you want them more than they want you, and they know it. And sure. He agreed to finally date. We had been best friends, and like I hate to say this, but it makes me sound so pathetic, but I was. I talked him into finally going out with me.
Yeah, and no, I've been there.
Yeah, and I like...
I think almost everybody has been involved in...
Does it count if you talk a girl into just sleeping with you?
No, this
okay,
is...
Okay, never mind
that. Begged for my boyfriend. He agreed. And we dated, and it was fine. We had a really good time. And I would say that he is one of the first couple of boys I ever really loved. Like, really felt like a lot of complicated emotions for. And so, we were both feeling, I mean, we'd never really been, neither one of us had ever been religious Christian-wise, but we were both feeling this kind of like, you know, I know some people will call it the God-shaped hole. I just call it the hole, you know, and we both felt like we needed something. And also we were teenagers.
You felt like your hole needed to be filled.
This is the guy I lost my virginity to eventually. But so we both wanted to do something like kind of bigger than ourselves. We were really both kind of gothy and interested in like the dark arts and like this. I know. And so we started being, we both kind of got into Wicca at the same time, and we did rituals on the high Sabbaths and the lesser Sabbaths. And Samhain is one of the high Sabbaths. It's one of the...
That's Halloween.
That is the day when the veils between the world are at their thinnest. And
of course it is.
And so
that's why there are ghosts roaming the streets.
That's true. And so one of the things that you do is you cut a pomegranate in half and you bury it under the...
Why don't you eat it? Pomegranates are yummy.
The other half.
What do you bury it? What happens when you bury it?
You bury it, and then there's a couple of books. Like, there's lots of books. Llewellyn Press put out a lot of great Wiccan books. And so there's, you know, different spells. But the thing about Wicca that eventually I figured out is it's just another organized religion. And so therefore it's full of assholes who will tell you that you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
And that you don't count because you're not doing it the way they think is right.
Oh, you're not skyclad?
Exactly. Yeah. You've never had a naming ceremony from a coven? And it's like, no. Well, what's your Wiccan name? I don't know. Molly? Like, no, that doesn't... Like, you can't have that.
That's
your slave name. But so I was really into Halloween, and I made a big fucking deal in high school. It's embarrassing to think that there's teachers who will remember this about me. Like, we were the ones that like went and like demanded, because we went to private school, that we not have to be at the holiday assembly because the holiday assembly only did Christian and Jewish songs, and that we felt that was infringing on our rights because the holiday assembly happened to fall on the day that was...
Was it like Yule or something?
It fell on
And they're
Yule.
Singing Christian and Jewish, and they're not singing Yule
songs. And we wanted to go, and I was asking us to have the day off so that we can go celebrate our religion the way our religion is supposed to be, which is out in nature, you know, fucking cheese and bread. And I can't even think about it. It makes me... I'm so embarrassed when I think about it.
See, you know, I pulled that.
See,
card.
I did the kind of pagan stuff too, but I was more like a sort of a new agey, crystally, kind of thing. I never really got into the spells and stuff like that. Oh, and hypnosis, like hypnosis.
I pulled that religious freedom card in college briefly. Because I had a lot of friends that were in the like non-Christian, whatever, pagan group. And because I was hanging out with the theater people. There's a lot of overlap there.
Yeah.
So in my dorm room, I pulled the religious freedom, don't oppress me card for being able to burn incense in my dorm room so I could cover up the pot smoke.
Nice.
Yeah. That's the only time I've pulled that. It was total bullshit. I mean,
the thing of it is like, I did do spells. I did on Samhain, one of the things that you do. Okay, one of the ones I would do was, like, you have to light certain color candles, and it's a lot like Buddhism with the visualization kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, you write it three times, and then you say, written times three, so mote it be. I mean, it's a lot of numerical...
Did you read Spiral Dance by Starhawk?
Yes, I read Spiral Dance by Starhawk.
Yeah.
And,
My mom gave me that book when I was 12.
Yep. There's a, and that's and I was really into the herbology part of it because that made the most sense to me. Like, because that's kind of
it's almost
like,
science.
It's almost.
It's
science.
Almost like it's almost like
yeah.
it could work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, and so like there was I made a lot of sachets. I boiled a lot of teas, which I'm now realizing might have been tangential to the eating disorder when I would try to like be like I will fast 4 days on these like teas to see visions, and now I'm realizing that was just a way to not eat. <It's> like, so,
oh, man.
But yeah, I don't know. It's I love Halloween. I love kids dressed up. I love candy.
Yeah.
I love Halloween decorations. I hate spiders.
I love,
that's unfortunate.
I love Halloween as far as candy because you get candy in exactly the right size.
Yeah.
You know, you
the rest
get
the, of the year they're
yeah,
all too big.
The rest
yeah.
of the year they're these gigantic candy bars.
Yeah, fucking
now.
People give out. Fuck the, oh, I give out full size candy bars. Fuck you. Give me.
I don't
tiny
want full size
candy
bars. I want the little
yeah.
Kit Kat bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want a big fucking Kit Kat bar. I want the little one. That's the perfect size.
At FFG we have a Halloween party. You can work. You wear costumes to work, and
uh-huh.
I did last year. And last year I was I went as Princess Peach, but then at the last moment I came up with a brilliant idea because the Occupy movement was fairly new.
Yeah,
and so I made a sign that said "Occupy Another Castle," and held that up, and that was awesome. And
Vizzy used to do that when I worked at Vizzy, local ISP in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Their company birthday is Halloween. They were founded on Halloween. So Halloween was a big deal to the company.
Like,
they always had a
works.
They always had a costume contest, and they'd give away like pretty decent prizes. Like second place, I came in second place twice, and that was like a $50 Best Buy gift card.
Tell them about Matt.
So there's this one guy that works there, Matt, who always comes in first.
Yeah,
always
because he's like
amazing.
A super
okay.
costuming nerd.
He made a Domo-kun costume 1 year. He made. Well, one year, oh yeah, 1 year he showed up in a huge diaper covered in blood with, you know, those arrow headband things that have an arrow through
yeah.
your head, like Steve Martin
yeah,
would
yeah.
kind of
uh-huh.
usually wear. Yeah, he had one of those that he made out of a coat hanger.
Oh my
so
god.
So he showed up as an abortion.
Oh my god.
And then,
that's
okay,
so
like,
inappropriate.
The,
it's amazing.
The,
I love
the
it.
Best
I love
one was he dressed up like a high heel. Crack whore, and he made a huge Barbie box to scale that he wore on a shoulder harness so he could walk around as crack whore Barbie in the box
with the plastic front
with the plastic front and all his accessories wired into the box on the side like they
God.
Are
it was nuts.
Which
That's
included
amazing.
A, which included a crack pipe and a lighter
yeah it was it's awesome.
There's a reason he won every year. My Mario
you know,
came in second.
I don't intend to do any costuming stuff. It's just I don't have time.
You don't
and
do
costume
convergence either, though.
No,
do
I don't. I
yeah.
just I don't have the time. And I,
yeah.
I mean, I because I don't want to do costume unless it's really fucking awesome. And
sure.
I just don't have the time to make.
No,
really
do Alex
awesome
and Devin
costume.
Know what they're going as this year?
Not yet. Although the discussions have started.
Yeah. What's the front runner so far?
Right now, Devin wants to use a costume he's already got, but he doesn't know which one yet. And Alex. I don't know. He's been Mario the last couple of years because
sure.
he's a big Mario
costume.
Fan.
My little brother Riley, who has Asperger's and is now 21, but when he was he trick-or-treated longer than he probably, you know, quote unquote should have. Because
yeah.
the thing with kids with
Asperger's,
I feel
like 14 or 15 is the point at which
sure.
you gotta cut them off.
The problem with kids with Asperger's and Riley in particular is when he was 15, mentally and socially, he was about 11 or 12.
Yeah.
So to him, it was still, he still wanted to go. And it was hard to tell him that he shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, you know, it's he loves costuming. He's a
yeah.
huge nerd.
Yeah.
We've
brought
him to Convergence
it.
A few times.
But
we've helped
he's also an artist
stuff.
And he has a very weird gothic style. And one of the things he decided to do 1 year was he was going to go as a character he'd created. That was named Magician the Serial Killer. Is he a magician? Riley says, no, his name is Magician.
Sure.
He is not a magician. His name is Magician. He's a serial killer. And the costume was this, like, big black top hat that he had. And then he made this super creepy mask that had, like, a huge smile that came up over his own nose.
It was creepy,
and
I
the
remember.
Eyes were super big and blown out. It was super creepy. And he had a cleaver. But what's the best part is he went trick-or-treating up their neighborhood. He went to, like, 4 or 5 houses. And he came back early. And he came in and just, ugh, ugh, ugh. My mom's like, what's wrong? He's like, nobody even knew who I was. My mom's like, well, you created your own character. And he goes, but it's obvious. I'm Magician the Serial Killer. I look just like the drawings I made. I don't understand why no one knows. And he was like, this dumb fairy princess next to me. And the woman's like, oh, you're a cute great princess, and she didn't even know who I was. And it just, he was devastated. And it's like, it's hard, I know, like you want to laugh, yeah, and it's hard not to laugh. But it's
when,
like,
when you're Alex Wynn is Yakko Warner from the Animaniacs.
Oh, awesome.
And the best thing was the like two houses or three houses where like, you're Yakko Warner from the Animaniacs. Everybody, they're like, ah,
yeah, yeah.
That's a great costume,
yep,
honey.
I do that but, for Convergence. There's so, that Dennis yeah. Miller factor.
One of the Halloween things that I look forward to is a mutual friend of ours and member of Vilification Tennis. Also, she works out at Renfest. Lori Richardson, or Ethel at Renfest. She and her boyfriend Seth throw inappropriate sexy Halloween party.
I know, and I never get to go.
And
to
so, like, people dress up as sexy Ninja Turtle, sexy Mormon,
sexy Dora the Explorer,
and sexy boots.
That was really filthy.
Super inappropriate.
Yeah.
She was wearing like orange hot pants, and Boots was wearing a blue fishnet shirt with the belly.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Well, last time they had it was when Jeremy and Amy got married.
Yeah. So we were coming directly from a wedding. So I made a big Galactus helmet out of craft foam, and I took off my shirt, and I put on like, you know, like Chippendale cuffs.
Yeah.
That I made out of purple duct tape, and I made a purple tie. And I put on my jacket over it, but shirtless. So I was sexy Galactus.
It was pretty ridiculous.
And you were a sexy goat.
I was Totes McGoat, the party goat, because all I had was a dress and my goat hat that I often wear out at Renfest. I'll probably be wearing it this weekend. But so I was just a party goat.
And you had a beard, too.
I made myself a little beard. And
I was just a sexy goat.
I didn't have a lot of time. So.
Yeah, so that's fun.
Halloween is the best.
We got to move on to five questions.
Yeah. Right.
We have another listener-submitted set of answers.
Yay.
So this is from Erica Schaub.
Hi.
And hi, Erica. Thank you for sending in your answers. She says she's a bit, she loved the podcast so far, is what she says.
Well, we look forward to disappointing you.
And so her answers are pretty short, which is actually great because we're running over time. So question number one, what's the best movie that you've seen in the last 30 days? She says Magic Mike.
Because, I want to see that.
Because sadly, that was the last movie I saw in the theater at a girls' night with other atheist geek girls, mind you. I regret nothing. Okay, I regret the plot line. Actually, The Amazing Spider-Man was much better. So
I
guess we're getting
Magic
an answer
Mike.
Of The Amazing Spider-Man.
I want to see Magic Mike 2, though, because I'm a sucker for movies with dancing.
Nick loves dance movies.
That's my,
I do, too.
I do too.
My dark secret
movies.
Is I love, like, Step Up. Like breakdance movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I fucking loved movies
dirty
with like
dancing.
Yeah, Dirty
yeah.
Dancing. I watched Dirty Dancing like 100 times as a kid.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's great.
You wouldn't think that.
No, Footloose is one of my favorite.
Fuck yeah. I just want to dance, Dad.
So there you go, Magic Mike,
nice.
Or The Amazing Spider-Man, whichever you want. Number two, our second question is, what's your favorite atheist character?
Okay.
She says Dr. Cox from Scrubs.
Perry Cox.
Yep.
He was always hysterical to watch and a bit refreshing after a long day of studying in nursing school. So we should note that Erica is a nurse because she mentions that right there.
I never watched Scrubs.
He's a very...
John C. McGinley. He's an amazing actor.
He's very bitter. He's kind of the boot camp...
He's an asshole, too.
Boot camp, the drill sergeant is a dick because he's trying to save your life down the line.
Yeah.
Perry Cox is a total asshole to these new doctors because they have people's lives in their hands.
Yes.
Right.
And so part of that assholeness, part of that cynicism is his atheism. He's too cynical to believe in God.
He's seen too many people pray and die.
Yeah.
To believe that there's a God because otherwise, if there is a God, then fuck him because
he
lets kids die. He lets people who have no pregnant women die in childbirth. You know, if there is a God, fuck him. But so it's easier to believe there's not.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So question number three, geekiest hobby. She says, I can no sooner choose a geekiest hobby than I could choose a favorite child. But I guess if I'm on the spot, my newest geeky hobby is exposing my oldest son to the joy of the comic book store.
Oh,
awesome.
Sweet.
And a revitalized love of strategic board games. You know, one of the things I like is that Alex is old enough to play more complicated board games.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
So, like, I can... Agricola is a game that I fucking love to
you
play.
Alex
really enjoys that. And actually getting him to play games like that is a lot of fun.
They would like Elder Sign, because Elder Sign is just dice, and it's and the more complicated stuff, you could help them. You could tell them what's going on.
There's another game called Seven Wonders.
Seven Wonders is awesome.
Pat's a huge fan of it. She got that. And both of the kids can play that. Even Devin, who's just 8.
Yeah.
It's got the scoring rules are a little tricky, but the play is very easy.
There are times in Seven Kingdoms where it's like there's just an obvious thing to do when it's your turn. Like, you don't have much of a... You have a choice. I mean, you could totally just fuck up, but there's kind of an obvious thing to do.
Yeah. So anyway, teaching my kids, that's a great deal, and I love comic book stores. Have you guys been to the new Source yet?
Oh, I love it.
So, yeah, I finally just went the other day.
We go every week. That's where we get our polls.
It's so fucking huge.
The wide open ceilings and
it finally doesn't smell like paint and new carpet. I don't think I'm gonna pass out for a while. Yeah,
but I one of the reasons I love to buy comics and like trade paperback is to like lend them to other people to like kind of sinisterly like. Ha ha ha, now I have another person to talk about comics with.
I know.
You're like, Why the Last Man with me. Like,
yeah.
I know. Anytime you want to lend me them, I'll
Oh, dude.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, you like those Parker ones.
I do. I got to get... Yeah. I'll get you Criminal. I done with them, but...
I'll get you Criminal.
Criminal. It's a more noir. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Fourth question. Favorite sandwich? Nothing is better than a fall BLT with fresh tomatoes from your own garden or the farmer's market, not refrigerated, specifically Cherokee Purple variety. She's doing good with the specifics.
I like, where she's going with this.
Bacon should be a good cut, nitrate-free if you want to get extra hippie about it. Lettuce, also from your garden if you can, but whatever. Bread of your choice, she says.
Man.
So she's open on bread.
She didn't say whether she toasts or not, or if she uses mayo or Miracle Whip.
Yeah, it's
those are some details I would have liked to know.
She sounds like a cool person, Erica, so I'm gonna guess Miracle Whip because she doesn't sound like she has terrible taste.
Erica, we need to know toasted, and we need to know if you'd use any spread. So you can send us those answers later, and we'll fill the audience in.
Leave them as a comment on this podcast.
Leave them as a comment.
We
want to
hear from you.
Question number 5: What's the stupidest? What is it, stupidest or most annoying thing?
Yeah, question about your atheism. Yep.
Okay, one I got a lot during nursing school and actually was asked tonight by a coworker that really gets me worked up is, how can you be a registered nurse and be an atheist?
What?
Yeah, as if being an atheist makes me less of a person or less of an empathic nurse.
Oh my God.
Or empathetic nurse. What do you even say back to that? There are so many snarky and rude responses I could say, such as, how can you be a registered nurse and a Christian? Or how do you judge my ability to empathize or support a client's spirituality without witnessing it?
How can you be in a science field and believe in an imaginary guy in the sky?
Yeah. How does being an atheist not actually make me a better nurse because I have that much more respect for the life I'm taking care of?
Yeah,
exactly.
If I think it's the only one they're going to get. Because unlike you, I can support someone's belief while still having my own. I can't say any of those because then somehow I'm the asshole. So in reality, I either walk away or simply say that I care about my fellow humans and love my job. What other reason do you need?
Yeah.
That is just so messed up. How can you do this and be an atheist? It's like, how does being an atheist say that I...
Does that mean that anything else?
Yeah. Being a nurse, I can't understand what being any religion without being a nurse.
Being
or
a nurse, but your favorite color's red.
How
can you be a nurse and be so fat? Like, I mean, it's like there's parts of the job that are just like, it's about caring, smartness, you know, like being attention to detail,
being able to act in an emergency.
Yes, being a cool head, calm, like. Yeah,
and none of those things require you to be a Christian.
No.
Or any religion at all.
A man or a woman.
Right.
Or, you know, any... Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
So those are great answers, Erica. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much for submitting them.
Yeah, thanks.
We want
to
remind
fantastic.
Everybody who's listening, you can submit your answers.
Please do.
Email it to us. You can send it to either Nick, Molly, or Tim at geekswithoutgod.com.
Those of you who've sent them in, we have received them. You'll be hearing you soon.
Yeah, we've received them, and we are working through them as we go. So that's really been a lot of fun to read them. And,
we
got a response from Australia. I can't wait.
That was amazing.
It's just the fact we got a response from Australia. Hey, the Australian guy, you rock. Just for being an Australian listening to our podcast. And we have reached the end of our podcast because we've been talking for a very long time. So thanks for listening to us. Again, you can email us at Tim, Nick, or Molly at geekswithoutgod.com. And take a moment to go like us on Facebook.
Yes.
You spend a lot of time on Facebook. So do we. And we will catch you next time. Have a great Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks to Tim Wick and Jeffrey Brown for our theme song, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and look at past podcasts at www.geekswithoutgod.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
I still have kind of a purple, like, thumbprint on my butt cheek, but it's getting better.